West Lafayette Village Council order, please stand for the pledge and prayer.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you for granting us the privilege to meet tonight. We ask for your blessing, wisdom, and guidance as we conduct the business of the village. Amen.
Okay, I'd like a motion to excuse Councilman Cheney and Bordenkirk. I know Councilman Bordenkirk will be here about 7:15.
I'll make a motion if we do that.
I don't know where Tim's at.
Second.
Maurer?
Yes.
Fortune?
Yep.
Lusk?
Yes.
Wheeler?
Yeah, I guess.
Should we do the regular roll call first, though?
Yeah, go ahead and do it.
Okay.
Yeah, I got outline when I saw it,
too. Okay. Wheeler?
Yeah.
Lusk?
Yeah, yes.
Fortune?
Yeah.
Maurer?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. You've all received previously the minutes of the August 12th, 2019 regular council meeting. If there are no objections, I'll entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
Motion approved.
Second.
Lusk?
Yes.
Wheeler?
Yep.
Maurer?
Yes.
Fortune?
Abstain.
We have three. We only had three votes.
That was three.
Let's call that vote again when we get this. Okay. Hopefully we get a fourth here. So
next year, you guys schedule us in. You'll miss a council meeting.
Hey, the first one in 4 years.
Okay, under correspondence, I don't have a tremendous amount. Got notice of the 68th annual Ohio Municipal League annual conference at the Renaissance Hotel in Columbus. It's what, $250 to attend. Fiscal Officer Amy Warren will be attending that, and that's all there is for that one. And then received a letter from Bricker and Eckler. It says, Honorable Steve Bordenkirk, Mayor of Village of West Lafayette. Dear Mayor Bordenkirk, the Court of Claims of Ohio recently upheld that there were construction contract contains a mandatory dispute resolution process. That process must be followed, otherwise the sureties or contractor's claim is irrevocably waived. The enclosed article reviews the case of Berkeley, must be insurance company, versus Kent State University. More articles related to construction can be found in our quarterly newsletter at BrickerConstructionLaw.com. So, got that, and I'll share that with the solicitor. Okay, at a special request, I've got a proclamation here that I'm going to read, and we'll sign that here. Whereas prostate cancer constitutes 19% of all cancer diagnosis and 8% of all cancer deaths, and whereas in Ohio an estimated 5,840 new cases of prostate cancer and an estimated 1,020 deaths will occur, and whereas men with relatives, father, brother, son, with a history of prostate cancer are twice as likely to develop the disease, and whereas veterans are 1.5 times more likely to get prostate cancer, and whereas prostate cancer is the most commonly diagnosed cancer in American men and the third leading cause of cancer death behind lung and colon cancer, and whereas this year approximately 161,360 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer in the United States alone every year, that one man every 3.3 minutes and roughly 26,730 will die this year from the disease, which is one man every 20 minutes. And whereas one in eight men are diagnosed with prostate cancer, African American men are at highest risk for the disease at a rate of one in six men. African American men are 2.3 times more likely to die from the disease, and whereas education regarding prostate cancer and early detection strategies is critical to saving lives, preserving and protecting our families, and whereas all men are at risk for prostate cancer, and we encourage the citizens of West Lafayette to increase the importance of prostate screenings. Now, therefore, I, Stephen R. Bordenkirk, Mayor of the Village of West Lafayette, Ohio, do hereby proclaim Monday, August 26th, as a day of recognition for September being the Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. And witness thereto, I hereunto set forth my hand and cause the seal of West Lafayette Village, Ohio, to be affixed this 26th day of August 2019. That proclamation will be posted once a national registry. They had contacted me about a month ago to get that done. No citizens for citizen comments. No fire report. Fiscal officer.
Okay, so there's a couple of resolutions and an ordinance on the table tonight that I just want to go over briefly. The first one, 2019-34. It's the resolution that we need to present. We heard back from the Budget Commission of Coshocton just certifying the amounts that we're going to be receiving for the general fund and the police fund. So that resolution is just to approve that and to recognize that. 2019-35 is adding funds. The first one, we need to add funds in the amount of $1,144.49. And that is for, we hadn't been doing special assessments in the past to recoup past due water bills. So that process was started by Heather when she was still here to get the ball rolling with that. So we received our first monies for that. We didn't have anything in place as far as appropriations and as far as the expected revenue. So I've alerted the auditor's office, requested for an amended certificate for that amount that we've received, and then so now we just need to add the funds into that account so that we can go through the process of getting those accounts paid off. The second section is for the fire fund. Need to add $450 to the wage and benefit portion of the fire fund, and that is because at the beginning of the year when I was calculating what we needed, I was only counting the wages and I wasn't including the actual benefit part of it too. So to get us through the end of the year, and I've talked to the fire department about that, so they're aware that we're going to be adding those funds. That's that one. And then the third one, 2019-36, this is to authorize me to sign the contract for the financial software with CMI. So at the last meeting, I had presented what it was going to cost for us to move forward with the upgrade of our financial software for the finance and payroll. And after going back to the reps at CMI, he made it aware to me that their fiscal year ends in September, and after September, the price is going to go up. So he told me that if we're able to at least sign the contract now and put us on the books for next year for the installation, that they would be able to lock in that price. And I have a copy of that contract in your paperwork as well, just so, you know, just to refresh your memory what that cost was going to be. But not only with that, but they'll also get us in the queue then for the project so they can, you know, make sure they have the resources needed to do that. 50% of that cost will be due after the first of the year. On February 1st is when that first payment will be due, and the rest of it's not due until we go live, until after everything's installed and up and running. So that could be the end of the year, next year, it could go into 2021. But we at least wanted to go ahead and get the contract signed and in place so that they could, you know, have everything in place and we can lock that price in. So 2019-36 is authorizing me to sign that contract, should you approve that. Other than that, the bills have been passed around for approval, and that's all I have.
The only thing I'll mention there on the CMI software is that the allocations were there, and by getting
sewer system, so I'm up to speed on that, and we are ready and waiting for the next steps from the county on that. I did work with the police chief to finalize an off-duty police services agreement to be used with the West, with the Ridgewood School District, so that I assume went on its way over there to get ready for the football season that's starting here now. And did do a review of the Ohio Revised Code and municipal ordinances regarding all-purpose vehicles. So I'm up to speed on those laws, and perhaps it's something you wanted to discuss with the ordinance committee, or how would you like to proceed on that? Do you want me to give a report on my findings, or just hold on that for now?
You can give it like the 10,000 foot level.
Okay. Let me just grab my file really quick. Okay. So there are Ohio Revised Code sections pertaining to the use and operation of all-purpose vehicles, and there are certain prohibitions and certain permissions that those code sections give. And our Ohio Basic Code basically mirrors exactly what the Ohio Revised Code said. So in general, the Ohio Revised Code prohibits the use of all-purpose vehicles on state roadways, so it's very specific mostly to state roadways. It doesn't speak to municipal roadways. The Ohio Revised Code has said we'll let you handle that, municipalities. There are some permissions given in the Ohio Revised Code that particular to streets, which I assume they mean any street anywhere, where if you are, say, parking your, unloading your all-purpose vehicle somewhere, you have the ability to get it to the right place and nobody's going to give you a hard time about it. There's more specific language I won't bore you with, but there's a few, you know, exceptions that they are reasonable with, I guess, in the Ohio Revised Code. And so we have some flexibility with all-purpose vehicles. What village does have the ability to prohibit the use of all-purpose vehicles in the village. You can put certain restrictions on it and allow it in some circumstances. Currently, as it stands, it did appear that it's not expressly prohibited, meaning the statute doesn't say, or the ordinance does not say, you may not operate the all-purpose vehicle in the village, but it also doesn't bless that either. So it's one of those, you know, little gray areas perhaps, if there's certain provisions that we want to make sure are in place for that, you know, that may be something the ordinance committee could discuss. And I can fill you in on more details and forward you my information.
The ordinance committee has met. Craig should be here in the next 5 minutes or so, but they have worked out the language for their first draft.
Okay.
Once that gets done, it'll come to you for review. But it's going to, in draft form, the standard four-wheelers pretty much prohibited. If you have a seat that where the passenger has to ride behind you instead of beside you, those would be prohibited, and it has to have a factory steering wheel, has to have all of the appropriate lights, so on and so forth. Bo, Rich, that pretty much summarized that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
Sounds good.
That's in the works.
The Ohio Basic Code does have another section on equipment, and you know, we can go over that as well. I did see a lot of different municipalities looking online are prohibiting the use of all-purpose vehicles within the village. Some are allowing it. It just depends on what they feel is a problem and what they don't. So. That mostly covers. We've still been working together on some nuisance property matters that we're keeping an eye on. So that will cover it for today.
Okay. Well, you mentioned it.
Okay. So I've been busy last couple weeks with complaints on grass. Sent out several letters. East 5th, North Kirk, East Russell, East 6th. And the majority of those properties, basically, as soon as they got the letters, they cut the grass. Also, one on East Park with the grass, weeds, refuse, trash, and They actually gave me a call after they cleaned it up to make sure it was okay. It looked much better. Bless you. Also had an issue over on East 7th Street where the tree had come down a couple months ago during the night, or on a Sunday afternoon, which we moved it off the road that day. I talked to the owner who owns the farmland. That following week, I went out to his house, and he said he would take care of it. It never got done, so I sent him a letter. He stopped in a couple of days ago, said that he really couldn't handle that big tree, though, or tree. He did say, said he took some of it, but he talked to some workers for the township who were willing to take it to use for firewood. At that time, they hadn't done it, but he said he did talk to them that morning, and they were going to make a note of it. Well, I went by this morning, and it was gone. So that got taken care of. A couple building permits, property on Plainfield Road. They were building a deck, didn't have a permit. I hand-delivered one to them, and they came in and took care of it. Property put an in-ground swimming pool. I sent them a letter telling them if they did any concrete work or any fencing or anything, we'd need a permit. He came in, he took care of that. He said he wouldn't, and both these people said they weren't aware that they needed a permit. Complaint on East Main with a permanent garage sale or yard sale that was going on. I talked to that gentleman. He agreed to remove things from his yard. Was not aware that he could only have a yard sale 6 days a year. Was not happy about it, but said he would like to put it out for the yellow flag sales, and I again informed him that he was only allowed to have one for 6 days a year, so we'll see if he puts it back out or if he leaves it out or how that goes. I know here the street department worked on patching holes around the village. The bucket van has been repaired. They had to make an adjustment on the motor so it would reach the gears. Today we purchased hoses for the street sweeper and the yellow dump truck spreader. I believe the guys are going to put those on tomorrow. 4x4 Ranger's back on the road. Dave Thomas replaced the head on it. Runs 100% better now. Our other street department dump truck is at Precision Truck Repair for the hydraulic tank on it. I'm going to call them tomorrow because I received letters from Amy this morning that Ford Motor Company is talking about problems with the turbocharger on them, and they've extended a warranty on it. And it just so happened while they were taking the dump truck over to Precision last week that it didn't run right. So it lost power on the way over. So they were going to look at it, so I'm going to get a hold of them in the morning to see if that was what they diagnosed it as. If so, then we're going to get that down to the Ford garage because they'll replace it for no charge. Dave K-Drive been busy. Dave and Ryan were busy jetting the lines over Johnson Street project, trying to clear those lines out because we had a couple issues like with manhole number 3. Things were building up in it. He jetted them out and routinely checked them, and it did not solve the problem. So it's still collecting in manhole number 3. Last week, the mayor and I, Dave and engineer, went over and looked at it, discussed different options. What they actually decided to do Friday, I believe it was, they installed a white pipe down into it to connect them. And they concreted it in, and what they're going to do is they cut the top out of it. So it basically works the same as the way it was supposed to, but it's just, I think it smooths the surface out and takes the dip out of it. So we're going to monitor that and see if that takes care of it. If not, probably the next step would be to probably dig up that line going over to the lift station and probably make sure that's soaked right. Let's see. And they are still working on it, Pro Valley Cheese on the line out there, trying to work on the obstruction that's in that line. They worked 2 or 3 days last week on it. They're back out there today. We're going to jet a couple more cleanouts up there today and tomorrow, and hopefully get that thing flowing the way it's supposed to be. I believe that's all I have.
Okay.
Okay, a couple follow-up things, especially with the sewer. We were over there and I made it very clear to them that I will not sign off. There's a $12,000 contingency there that until we sign off, and when Heather left, I became the project manager, and I will not sign off on it until that drains properly. And we've got a grass issue there as well. I was over last week with the engineer. John was there and I've had a number of complaints. If you drive over through there, you see where the work is. The grass looks like crab grass. It looks horrible. And we had discussions, and the engineers are coming, or not the engineers, the contractors are coming down towards the end of September, and they're going to replant that entire area. Part of the problem may be the topsoil that was used, and we don't have any place here to buy topsoil in the village, and we believe that came from Howard's, and it's got more of a clay base to it, so it doesn't let the water through like what we're, you know, it's the native topsoil that we have here. So we're working on that, but they're going to replant that. And Dave was supposed to go over tomorrow and look at the sewer. I don't know if they've cut the top out or not yet, but they were going to set it in, set that Y in it, and then they were going to concrete that in. And as John said, if it doesn't drain better, in the bottom of that manhole, all the solids were just sitting there. A few of them were passing through, but it was really amazing. You could see the solid waste at the bottom of the manhole. When you walked down to the lift station, it was just clear fluid. It was clear water coming out of it. The solids weren't getting through. So if this doesn't fix it, we figure there's probably a high spot in the line out there. And we'll see. We told them we're going to let it go at least 10 days, 2 weeks before we make a decision on that. And until the grass is done to our satisfaction, I will not sign off on that. And that goes there. Other things, just to keep people up to snuff on it, talk about the Wall Street grass. I don't know if you noticed the heavy dump truck traffic going into the last week. Apparently, from what I understand, is that AEP has purchased acreage off of the Schertz family, and they're putting the new substation in. If you go out the end of Johnson Road, hang a right there, or turn left to go to Burger Rock, they've cut a new road to the right that goes way back in there, and apparently that's going to be a new substation. But that's what's generating all the traffic on Main Street. There's probably, I don't know, maybe two dozen big dump trucks coming through every day. So
I see them in the morning. The guys are getting breakfast at the general store.
So, but that's what's causing that, I guess. Main Street, we've still got that spot from where it hooved up back in July. I called Albert's today. John has indicated he's tried to call and hasn't been able to get through. I got through, and they will be here Wednesday or Thursday to fix that. Another thing that we're working on, as far as the village administrator, this goes in line with the school system. You've heard of safe sidewalks at the schools. There's another program out there as well. But both programs that are out there gives us the potential to replace a lot of village sidewalks with grant dollars. But the school has to agree with it. I've sent the packet over to Mr. Maslowski. We are going to have a meeting, but I told him that, you know, we're just going to let it sit until they get school up and running and get that behind them. And so probably next week I'll reach out to the school to see if we can sit down and start talking, preliminary talks. But it's called Safe Routes to Schools is one, and then there's a bigger one. But the whole process, if it looks like we make it good, is probably a three-year process. So,
is there a timeline on that grant?
From the time the grant, the application is due, let me tell us, February.
Okay.
then if there's two different grant programs that we would go after, but it, to get from application to pouring concrete, they said you should plan on close to 3 years. So we've been working on that. Okay, that's the rest of the stuff I've got here I'll cover under other business. Okay, entertain a motion to recognize Councilman Borton Kerr.
Motion to recognize Councilman Borton Kerr.
I am.
I think.
I'm Greg.
I'm not wrong, actually.
He's got some hair on his face.
Yeah.
Somebody want to second it?
Second.
Okay, thank you. Jeepers. Fortune?
Yeah.
Wheeler?
Yeah.
Lusk?
Yes.
Mauer?
Yes.
Okay, the minutes have been around. Everybody's had the opportunity to look at those, received in advance of meetings. There are no corrections to minutes. I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes now that we have it up.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Wheeler?
We did it once.
Yeah.
Mauer?
Yes.
Borton Kerr?
Yes.
Lusk?
Yes.
Fortune?
Stain.
Okay, let's go into committee reports. Building some property. Tim's not here.
There is one question I wanted to ask on building property. Across from the park, the building administrator, or not the building administrator, but the fiscal officer we had poured concrete, and the whole, what do you call it, curb strip is all concrete now, and she's parking her car on that.
As long as we've been into that with the police department, as long as they leave the width of the sidewalk open on that side of the car, they can park there.
I don't think they're leaving that width though.
Yeah. And we've had discussions, both the police chief and I have had discussions with them, as well as Officer Dusenberry. And if you notice, Jack Patterson poured his sidewalk the same way.
Yeah.
And right. I don't know that he's parking on it, but.
He don't park on it.
You got to keep the sidewalk open.
But I just seen it sitting there, and I said, that's blocking the sidewalk.
Yeah, as long as the width of the sidewalk is open on that side, then he's able to do that. I haven't paid any attention to it. I know he's got to be about that far from the curb to accomplish that.
Yeah, well, I'll just let you know.
Yeah. Community business development, we have nothing there. Community relations, Tim's not here. I know the chamber meets tomorrow night. I think they'll have election of officers and follow up from the homecoming. Shock and water, nothing there. Finance.
Nothing tonight.
Nothing. Fire dependency board ordinance.
Ordinance met on the, what day was that?
22nd.
We discussed the need about a ordinance for fences, and also discussed the possibility of an ordinance around all terrain vehicles, utility vehicles being permitted on the streets. Both require some further research, and we'll be working on that over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, the solicitor gave an upper view of that, and you can do pretty much. Park board.
Nothing tonight.
Planning commission.
Nothing on the planning commission part.
Public safety.
Public safety, everything's going pretty good. Nobody's requested a meeting, so I'm not calling in until they request it.
Public works.
We met on the 22nd. We discussed the Johnson and Wall Street sewer project and the problems going on there. We also discussed the Pearl Fresno wastewater system as Shopton County Engineer Commissioners want to give that to us, and that's in the works, so we really didn't make any decisions, but.
Yeah, we haven't got a proposal yet, and I don't know how soon we will.
That's all I got.
Nothing from records, nothing from rules, so we have two resolutions and an ordinance. 2019-34, this does contain the emergency clause, and fiscal officer did give an explanation of this resolution. So resolution 2019-34, resolution accepting the amounts and the rates as determined by the Budget Commission and authorizing necessary tax levies and certifying them to the county auditor.
Suspend the rules. Make a motion to suspend the rules.
Second.
Wheeler?
Yep.
Bordenkircher?
Yes.
Musk?
Yes.
Maurer?
Yes.
Fortune?
Yep.
Motion to adopt.
Second.
Bordenkircher?
Yes.
Fortune?
Yep.
Musk?
Yes.
Maurer?
Yes.
Wheeler?
Yep.
Next is resolution 2019-35, a resolution to amend the 2019 permanent appropriations ordinance 2018-68, adding funds, and this as well contains the emergency clause and was explained by the fiscal officer.
Motion to suspend the rules.
Second.
Bordenkircher?
Yes.
Wheeler?
Yep.
Musk?
Yes.
Maurer?
Yes.
Fortune?
Yep.
Sorry. Second.
Who did the first? Sorry. Okay. Thank you. Maurer?
Yes.
Bordenkircher?
Yes.
Fortune?
Yep.
Musk?
Yes.
Wheeler?
Yep.
And finally, ordinance 2019-36, an ordinance authorizing and directing the fiscal officer to sign a contract with CMI. This also contains an emergency clause. And Craig, since you weren't here, the fiscal officer did explain this, but if we sign the contracts now, we lock in the price. We won't actually purchase and pay for the new software until 2020.
Is that the full price, 53?
That's the full price of the software as well as the yearly annual service and maintenance for next year as well for both of them.
Did they give you any indication how much that was going to go up?
No, they did not. No.
I just wondered.
Yeah.
Probably at least 10%.
I would think.
At least.
I mean,
everything goes up by 10%.
That's just the rule of thumb.
Send our paychecks.
You got the emergency clause?
Yeah.
Motion to suspend the rule.
Motion to suspend the rule.
Oh, just give me a second.
Gotcha.
That's an awful lot of money for software.
Wheeler?
Yep.
Musk?
Yes.
Fortune?
Yep.
Bordenkircher?
Yes.
Maurer?
Yes.
Motion to adopt.
Second.
Maurer?
Yes.
Wheeler?
Yep.
Fortune?
Yep.
Bordenkircher?
Yes.
Musk?
Yes.
Yeah, Ron, it is a lot of money, but I'll give you a little insight. The software that I use in my business, it's over $400,000.
Yeah. We got to go back to the old days and get the way that way.
Well, then you can. You want to do it then? You can have it.
Okay, under other business, I've got a couple things here. Last week, I attended the annual legislative luncheon put on by the Coshocton Port Authority. And it was a very good meeting. Our state senator spoke. Our state representative spoke via video. Federal Senator Portman was there in person and spoke, as well as Congressman Gibbs. Went around from a county aspect, explaining what a lot of the needs were, the major needs, the big expensive needs. The highway, making it two lane from Columbus to Pittsburgh, and other projects similar to that, as well as other infrastructure improvements we need, and those were addressed to the legislators who were there, and they did speak. We'll see if anything happens that comes from that. We talked about in our meeting subsequent to the flood about having our own code red system. We have evaluated several. We've got one that we are ready to recommend. However, before I go there, I'll mention one other thing. Rob McMasters from the county EMA has approached me when he found out we were doing this, and they were a little opposed to it. And since then, they are meeting with the commissioners on Wednesday, and they are proposing opening up Code Red countywide to all the municipalities. And we don't know at this point whether there'll be a cost to it or not. But it would allow us to utilize that system, be administrators, and to make calls, blah, 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 for whatever reason here. I had a meeting last week with the fire department, and they are a little opposed to that, as I have some concerns as well. Code Red has always been, in this county, an emergency alert system. Absolute emergencies, tornado warnings, flood warnings, whatever, severe storm warnings. Fire department is concerned if we use that same thing and it's labeled as Code Red, are people going to, you know, they're getting the calls that come in for other things. Are they going to start to become a little immune to the effect of Code Red and just set it off to the side? So what we would propose if we want to go forward with it is using the same system that Ridgewood School District uses. It's, I think it's called Bright Arrow. It costs us $50 a year to get into the system, and the initial buy-in is $200. For each $100 that we invest into it, we get 2,000 minutes. The initial buy-in is $250, and you get 4,000 minutes. And then for every $100 that you put into the kitty after that, that buys you another 2,000 minutes to be utilized. And we'd have total control in the village here as to who and what information goes out over that. And if we, let's say we invest $400 the first year, and come to the end of the year, we didn't use a single one of those minutes, it rolls into the next year, and all we would pay is $50. The options are, we can table this for another 2 weeks to see what the county is going to propose, or we can go forward tonight and use the system that the school is. I don't know if you want to discuss that a little bit, what your thoughts are. I know what the fire department's thoughts were. And I have to give that a little credit. So,
what's the county system cost us?
It doesn't cost you and me anything other than county tax dollars going for it.
Yeah.
They are looking at. They've got a 40,000-minute plan. I have no idea what it costs them now, and they're talking about going to an unlimited plan. And Rob McMaster's indicated that appeared to be about an additional $1,200 a year. I asked him how much would be our prorated share, and he said, well, I don't know if it'll be anything. But it's an unknown. I don't know.
Trust me, it would be.
They're not going to do it for nothing.
So that's up to you guys. You know, we can table it for another meeting.
I'd like to make a recommendation that we table for another meeting until we see what they come up with. Because not because it wouldn't be all right to have, but the people are confused enough with Code Red. And then we have another, they're still going to get the Code Red off of West Virginia or someplace. I get on my phone all the time, like everybody else does. It's not coming from here, it's coming from somewhere else.
Well, it's produced from here. It's produced in Coshocton at the sheriff's office, or Rob McMasters can do it from his phone. where the phone calls go out from is wherever their call centers are. And it's all automated. And the number of calls that go out, it's based on, as I understand it, as the physical limitations of the local phone systems. And nobody can answer that question, just what those are. They said of old, when everybody had landlines, it was only about 200 calls a minute that they could shove into like a community of West Lafayette. But we've got landlines, we've got VoIP lines, we've got cell phones. So whether each of those is 200 or is it 400 now, nobody can answer that very 100% clearly how many calls we can push a minute depending on that. And you know, and I don't have a problem with waiting, but I do mirror the fire department's concerns a little bit. So, but you know, if you guys want to wait, if there's no motion on the table, we'll table it till next time.
Just wait and see what.
I'd assume wait and see what he come up with, because if we go ahead and do something, it's gonna be awful confusing for the people. They don't understand the code red as it is now anyhow. Most of them don't. They still go.
Our intention is not so much for the emergency, but to be able to communicate. And yes, there are emergency communications. That would be our choice there. Tornado warnings and all that would come there. But after that, when we're trying to communicate to people in the community, that's where this would be used. And you know, part of the fire department's concern, I think it's very valid, is if we use the code red, and I know on my phone it comes up and says code red.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if people get to the point where, you know, somebody else is sending them out and they're going to be able to do this potentially countywide, is people just going to start ignoring the real emergency? Mm-hmm. So food for thought, and we'll go ahead and table till next meeting. Next thing on my additional agenda, we spoke at last council meeting about the TV cable companies and franchising. There's a webinar this Thursday or tomorrow?
It's tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow
at 2:00, and I'm going to make every effort to attend that and listen to some of that additional information. Going back, other good news, BWC put out that there's going to be a rate decrease, what was it, 10%,
10%.
I sent it,
mm-hmm.
for public entities like ourselves, be a 10% decrease in manual classification. So in essence, our workers' compensation coverage should see about a 10% drop in cost. That, you know, if payroll goes up, then that's out of make, but a status quo, we ought to be looking at about a 10% drop in our premiums there.
For next year?
Yeah.
Or,
okay. Well, it starts January 1st for us.
Okay.
The private entities, they're started on July 1st. Ours will start on January 1st. And Ashton Beulah, October 11th, myself and the police chief are going to a class in Ashton Beulah. The morning class is on how to do a damage assessment following as a disastrous event. It's open. There's room if somebody else would want to go. It doesn't cost anything, but you have to be registered to go. And in the afternoon session is a training session on recovery and how to properly address your recovery processes. So the chief and I are going to that. There's no cost to the village other than our travel costs, and there's money in my budget that will cover that to get us up there and back. Okay, one other thing, I will ask for an executive session once we get the rest of this stuff done. And any other business? Schedule committee meetings. Anybody?
Oh,
finance.
Gosh, gotta keep reminding me. Finance,
September
the 9th at 6:30.
Yep.
Ordinance or anybody?
No, Not at this time, we may end up scheduling one.
Okay, no other committee meetings. Okay, the only committee meeting we have is finance, September 9th at 6:30 PM. Bills, been around, motion to pay the bills?
Motion to pay the bills.
Has Craig, have you signed off on, okay, all right. Okay, so Ron, you made a motion?
Second.
Wheeler?
Yep.
Borden Kirker?
Yep.
Fortune?
Yep.
Lusk?
Yes.
Mauer?
Yes.
Okay, I would entertain a motion at this point that we go into executive session to consider dismissal of a public employee.
Who would you like here?
Just counsel and our solicitor.
Motion to go into executive session, discuss dismissal of a public employee with solicitor staying.
Second.
Mauer?
Yes.
Borden Kirker?
Yes.
Fortune?
Yep.
Lusk?
Yes.
Wheeler?
Yep.
Okay, we are.
Are you expecting any action coming out?
Very possibly. Okay, we are off the record at 7:00.